All views and opinions expressed in this podcast are personal and do not necessarily reflect those of any sponsors or affiliates. Any discussion of alleged events or crimes is opinion only and not verified fact. Content is for information and entertainment purposes only. Listener and viewer discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 24 of the Billy Joe Podcast. I am Billy.
I'm Joe.
Guys, good to have you back again. We're here for another week, Joseph.
Another one,
Billy. We made it. We survived another week, brother.
Mate, we're good. We're here.
We're good, mate. Guys, once again, like I know I sound like a broken record, but please like and subscribe to our Instagram and our YouTube at the Billy Joe Podcast. Make sure to push the push notification button on.
And our Spotify.
Yes, at the Billy Joe Podcast. Sorry, Joey.
All right, mate. You're all
right. Guys, we've got a belter today, Joey. Today we do. One thing I've noticed in life, it's all about whether you have your ups and your downs. It's all about your mindset. It's all about how you react to things, how you think of things. If you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. That's the mindset I go by. Now, we're very fortunate today to have a very special guest. He's Australia's number one sports mindset coach. He's worked with he's done a lot in his career. He's worked with he's been involved within 66 plus sports, dealing with their athletes, dealing with their performance staff and all that sort of stuff. Some sports clubs like the Sydney Roosters, the Canterbury Bulldogs, A-League teams as well. I think probably Sydney FC and the Melbourne Victory, but whatever you can think of, this guy is it. And without further ado, I do want to give a very big warm welcome to Australia's number one mindset coach, Mr. John Novak. Welcome to the podcast, mate.
Wow, nice introduction. John, it's very kind of you. Humbly appreciate it.
Mate, it's an absolute honour to have you, brother.
Yeah, such an honour to be here. Let's go.
John, welcome. Thank you so much for coming in.
Both of you. I love it. I'm not Billy and I'm not Joey. I love it how you said the introduction. I'm Billy and I'm Joey. and I'm not.
And that's become our thing.
Johnny. Just for clarity.
Let's call it Johnny instead of John.
Absolutely. Well, one thing I do want to add, off the back of Billy's awesome introduction, we have quickly formed a community.
A following,
right?
Yes, you have.
And they love, you know, the rawness. They love the openness.
Yep.
And we're telling stories about tough times, guys getting knocked down, loss, whether it's losing a father or a child.
Yep.
Sad. Tragic accidents.
Yep.
Cancer. We've spoken about all this.
And sport now.
Well, why we've got you on, not only sport, John.
Oh.
But we want people to know, and we don't just want to be all doom and gloom.
Yeah.
We want to help people. Not right. Yeah, you can go through the rough times, which is what we've shown.
Yep.
But now we want to show the other side. When you do go through a rough patch, yep, what can I do to implement to get out of that?
That's a very, very good question. Why it's really relevant, because athletes who get injured go through that all the time. Athletes I have all over the world are dealing with some sort of niggle some or other, or a comeback some or other, or they've had a loss, or they've moved and they're in somewhere in Europe starting up and working towards their dream of being in a Div 1 team anywhere in Europe,
yep,
in football, soccer, as it's called. It's having a really good understanding of your personal philosophies. So whether it be something like blessing or a blessing in disguise, things happen for a reason, growing, learning, opportunity to be better at what I do, or feeling, grieving, accepting, flowing, benefiting, having, if we're talking about the loss of a family member, it's the loss is not a loss because the spirit within always lives there. So, but activating those feelings and enjoying those feelings, because the program school will go into, I'm sure, the boomerang effect. So if I think of a beautiful moment of my father passed 10 years ago, a beautiful moment with my dad, it still is a real feeling. That's why I say to athletes, your body never forgets. Your best performance and your worst performance, which is rocks and diamonds, is always within you. But what you're focusing on is what grows. So the simple saying is, where the thoughts goes, where the energy flows. So if it's a loss in your life, and you think of all the great things instead of, oh, poor me, I don't have you, I still have you, because your spirit resonates in me with the thoughts and the feelings that never go.
This is exactly what we wanted.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Lucky we really planned that out. Yeah. Get the frog.
Yeah, well,
no secrets here, bro.
Everyone already knows that we do no planning. So that's not a surprise.
Yep.
I understand everything you're going to be talking about is going to be sports orientated, athlete.
It won't.
But my point is, even let's say we take the athlete route in regards to mindset, your average Joe Blow can take away from that. It's not just athlete. Oh,
the reason I said no, he won't, not because I'm being smart bum or trying to control anything, because the difference between this program and how it came into the NRL in particular was that it's not just about run faster, jump higher, catch better, less mistakes. It's about what you bring to training, which is your life. We were the first program when I first went into the Roosters, as you announced at the beginning in 2009, we were the first program that talked about well-being. This is a well-being performance program. So the week has 168 hours. They're full-time athletes, are about 35 to 45 hours, depending on what kind of athletes they are. The rest of the time, so it's 168 minus 40, let's say 40. There's 128 hours of excellence in your life that you need to deal with in well-being. That's why I got the opportunity with Des full-time with the Dogs to present a program to the Dogs for 5 years. After won the grand final in 2011 with Manly, then came 2012 and got to the grand final straight away, 2014 grand final. We're in the semis every time. So what's happening now with the Doggies was a precursor. Well, what we did then was we were talking well-being then. And I was working with the CEO then, and I was working with the Greenbergs and all that. But what distinguished our program, pre-well-being programs in every NRL club, was sharing the boomerang effect, which if it wasn't for Des, I wouldn't have had that opportunity, because it was all about well-being / performance. That's why it's not just getting out there running faster and doing better. Did that make any sense?
It did make sense.
Absolutely.
Absolutely
it did. But I want to, on the back of that, so you won a premiership with Manly.
Yep.
Right? Then Hasler takes you to the Dogs.
Yep. Tough time.
And then you're there 12, 13, 14, 15. And you make
five years.
Yeah. Why would the Dogs, if we see something's working, so John's implemented this well-being program.
Yep.
Called the boomerang effect.
It was actually called that.
Yeah, it was called
the boomerang effect. Okay.
So what year did you leave?
So I did 5 years. So I did 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
Okay.
We were in the semis the whole time.
Okay. So is it a coincidence that Johnny leaves, and I'm not saying it's all John, but
it'll never be all me. It's a team.
Okay, I think it was a factor.
Absolutely, John, but there's a massive, massive coincidence.
Yes.
That you leave, and then they hit rock bottom from 2017
till now.
Till just this year or last year.
End of last year.
Is that
a coincidence?
The program is powerful. I have clients. I've had thousands of clients who do the same thing. It's easier for me now just working with clients all over the world, because I don't have to go into talking to everyone about everything. When I was in the Dogs, I talked to 100 athletes. I talked to every athlete. Not every athlete, because you can't get to every. But you're working with every team. You're talking with Harold Matz. You're talking with all the players coming in who might be in
teams. Oh, so it's not just first grade.
I worked with the New South Wales Cup. No one knows, because I didn't tell that story. And it's so funny. You talk a lot about coaches, but you don't talk a lot about the people behind the coaches. And the great thing about it was, having that opportunity to work with a great coach who just won a grand final, is implementing a program. No one knew the power of the program. Des got it. He really, really, really got it. And that well-being thing is, he gets that you got to get the person right. You can have great people. Like, I'll give you an example. I won't say who it is, but someone's not playing great during the time I was there, and things go off, and I know them well, and I go, so how's it going? When's the last time you went to church? And he goes, Joe, you haven't been there a lot lately. I said, how close is your church to your home? He says, I drive by it every day. Yeah. You drive by it every day. And 50% of the NRL are church lovers, the Islanders, and God bless their Cotton Sox. I am a man of faith as well. If you're not going in there and your performance isn't close to what you need to do, why aren't you going? So things like that are really important because that's a well-being faith thing. It's the trust, the faith in belief. And if you don't believe in yourself sometimes, geez, what kind of faith have you got? Because the gifts that you have are from your maker and you're not even going to a place that's on the way home. What's wrong with that, dude?
That's so true. I've got a question for you, John. Now, in regards to that, you must see that quite often. Now, my question to you, now, when me personally, I'll give you an example for me. Now, if something is bothering me in my personal life,
yep,
and I go to work the next day,
yep,
I feel like that's all I'm thinking about.
Exactly.
Now, is it the same thing? Let's use the NRL for instance. Is it the same? So could something, can you explain to our listeners that a performance isn't just a poor performance on the field just because they had a poor performance on the field? It's, there is external factors that they carry into their daily working life every day. Is that right?
So much so, and totally agree, that we develop lots of protocols, strategies, standard operating procedures of the 72 hours in, 48 hours in, 24 on the day, 6 in, 2 in, activation time. Every one of those boys that I've worked with in 11 years of NRL that I've been involved with, hundreds of games, have that.
Wow.
So it's, and the reason is because I say simply, please don't do a house negotiation in the 72 hours before, because we're going there trying to purchase a property. You know what it's like.
Emotions are high.
Oh, auctions.
Yeah.
Like auctions for any human being. They're not like, yes, we're superheroes in your own space at a critical moment, but it's affecting you. Anything that affects you. So when we talk about the probing, it's breath to breath, moment to moment, what are you putting out in your words, thoughts, and actions? So if you're putting out, I'm not sure if we're going to get this property. Have we got enough finance? Where's the credit for it? What just happened to this? Do you believe that we've just been outbidded? They've just put some, that's all energy. So they get there and you go, where's he? And where he is where he was, because they don't, until you're trained and disciplined, people don't compartmentalize thinking. That's why I feel very blessed to have this wonderful opportunity to work with elite athletes, because I get what impacts it, like you perfectly just said a second ago. Everything affects everything in 168 hours.
A lot of people don't see that.
No.
They just see, like, for instance, this guy dropped the ball. Like, this guy can't run. He's not running properly. He's like, a lot of people don't see that where the rest of the energy is going throughout the week, bro. And it's just
Where your energy is going. Outside of the job.
Exactly right. I know this, and I'm sure you know this too, because we know a few boys that play NRL. We know what goes on sometimes in their personal life, and we can see it when they're playing footy on the weekend. We can see their performance. But a lot of people that are watching are just saying, fuck you, excuse the French, this guy's shit. When you should just say, like, hang on a minute. This guy's a normal human being. Like, they forget that. And
how hard is it to catch a ball?
Exactly,
you know what? I love the old school. Let's go. And the money you're getting, you should be catching that ball, dude. Yeah. Like, dude, you don't know the pressures they got. You don't know that that guy's going through this. You don't know that someone had a loss. You don't know that the wife's overseas or something's happened. You have no idea.
The kid's sick in hospital. You don't know.
You don't know nothing about nothing, and you're judging him. So imagine judging you and your other jobs. One moment where something didn't happen, and one didn't happen, they says, that is not good enough. Because we're in the public eye, they're in the public eye. I'm not. They're in the public eye. And the scrutiny, it's not just public eye, it's microscopic. Mm. So when you have a rocks and diamonds person, it's probably because of other stuff.
I agree.
Absolutely. Obviously, John, you've made it clear this, your career didn't start in the sporting aspect. When did it start for you, and when did you was there a moment in your earlier life where you were in a rut, you were in a hole, and you thought to yourself, right, how do I get out of here?
Oh, this is a thousand times. Like, I had a really difficult situation when I was 38. I made a comeback at 33 to 38 as a fighter. I had a charity called the Fair Go campaign. So that period up to 2000, that period before that was really tough, and then right after it was very, very tough in the respect that I thought I was going to be a politician. I wanted to help Australia, and I did multiple degrees towards that, and I was working then either to academia, a political role, or I would work as a lawyer because I'm a lawyer. Any of those, none of that happened. I don't do any of those things. The only thing in common is that I've been thinking in a very, very logical, systematic, structured way, but at the same time I was juxtaposing that with a physical, really out there career. Like I did 5,000 aerobic classes. I mean, every day I'd be going up getting people motivated. So I was building up something. I didn't know where it was going, but I thought it was this. You know, I've got my uni ring just here. You know, my master's at George Washington University, thinking that
in America?
Yeah, the States.
Oh, wow.
So which is just three blocks down from the White House. I went there and got that degree, and I was really proud of that. So I had huge aspirations to help people, and then all of this stuff happened. And the stuff that happened was we were having this program, that was before, it was called the Fair Go Campaign, Helping Underprivileged Athletes Tour our Australian Olympics. And then I was training the best of the best athletes in the country with pads. So I'm going bang, boof, 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 boof. My body was taking it all. I was doing 10 aerobic classes. I had a separation with a person that had been with 16 years. I was at my lowest point. And that lowest point, and then I had traveled to a war zone on my PhD and had near-death experiences. So there was 1,000 things happening in my life. And all of it, it got to the point where I couldn't work anymore because my body had absolutely, I had a physical breakdown. I couldn't walk from all the activity that I was doing. And because of that, I met someone. I thought maybe I should go back into law or I should do that. Law, and I met a very well-known person who said, you need to reinvent yourself. And that was Brad McKeogh, who won the Olympic bid for Australia. And he just said, Johnny, you have to reinvent yourself. And from that moment on, and from not being able to walk, set up Mindset Shop at Bondi Junction, my first little office. I had an office that was a quarter of this side. This place is not huge, but a quarter of this. And I just started my one-to-one businesses of this. So I'd been doing it a long period of time at hockey because I was making money from fitness. Mm. But then I started that business after not knowing how to proceed forward without the things that I was trained to do. And that business went from 2000 to developing the Boomerang Effect to it being considered a pretty good product globally now. So that if you see it an ebb and flow of high tide to low tide, as I see nature keeps changing from dark to light, I went through my darkest moments where I didn't know where I'm going to go and how I'm going to go. And we built a business that was near nothing was coming in, to having like garage workshops, then going to clubs. Like we had a whole series at Miranda Hotel. I had a guy, and I had superstars in the NRL starting to come. Sheck was there, you know. What's the gentleman from the Roosters? Shrek. You remember Shrek?
Oh, Mark O'Mealy.
Yeah, Mark O'Mealy. So we had journos there who ended up writing articles on me later when the Boomerang Effect started kicking ass. And there was a coach called Anderson there. And we had, I remember Shrek saying, we really need you at the Roosters. This is before I went to the Roosters. We really need you. You know who was the coach then?
Brian Smith? And Fittler. Fitler, Freddie.
So we really did, you know, that's Freddie. And
Fitler brought you in, is that right?
Yeah, that's what he keeps telling me when he's seen me 100 times. And God bless him. I think the world of him for getting that opportunity. But I didn't start with first grade. I started with the 20s.
Okay.
And it was going so good with the 20s. He's, we need you up here, Brian Canigan. We need you up here too, because that was a very, very forgettable year for them. But so 2010.
That bad year, that a bad year.
Yeah, they got the wooden spoon in 2009.
Correct.
2010, what happened?
They made the grand final.
Yeah, turn it around.
No coincidences, right? No, there's coincidences.
No, there isn't. Nah. This is what I take it back to. If something's working, right, with the dogs, for example, it's not broken.
Don't fix it.
Yeah, but there was
cables doing my head in.
I understand there was other factors.
look,
But are you tied to Des Hasler, where you had a contract where you weren't allowed to work anywhere else?
When I was 5 years, I was tied to Bulldogs. Todd Greenberg signed
okay, so
it,
and why, yes, when Hasler,
I was full time. I was full time coach of any sport in Australia.
So when Hasler left, why didn't you stay? Because to me, it's a no brainer.
It's a very long story that we haven't got enough time to explain and explore. And I'm not trying to be rude. It was going very, very well. The 2-10 thing was fascinating for me that they went so 2-11. We won a GF, and it was great how I met him and how that there's a story in there. 2-12 to set up shop and have my own office and be the first in the country of any sport to have this program or any program.
Wow.
I feel honored and blessed to stay there and do 60 to 70 hour weeks with Des Hasler. I really got more than any degree I ever got. And the one I'm honored and blessed about, I'm proud about all these things. I learned the craft of the boomerang effect full time. Who's that blessed?
No,
I'm so blessed to be at the Dogs and to see so many great things, to have had multiple conversations with the present CEO and all the staff around him. We did one-on-ones. We worked with admin together. The boomerang effect was front and center in the Dogs. I did presentations to our sponsors before games. I'd walk around and talk them through downstairs. Look, I'm absolutely grateful beyond – there's not enough words I can have how grateful I was to get that opportunity.
Can I just ask you something in regards to that? Two-part question. Do you feel like mindset starts from the top up, whether it's a company, a football club, or anyone that starts from the top all the way to the bottom? And second of all, what's it like working with Des Hasler?
Can I add to that last question?
Can we just do one question at a time before you add to it?
Yeah, let's go. Okay.
Unless it's tangential that I could weave it in.
What's I want to weave it in. They call him the mad scientist.
Okay.
I want you to elaborate on that.
Is that first? Or
no.
Whatever you want.
First and foremost.
From the top.
Des recommends who he wants. Okay, so Todd Greenberg was a superstar. I always say to Todd, don't take this too personally. It's a compliment, Todd, if you listen to this ever. I always say to him, when are you going to get into politics, man? You are so slick, because my studies are in politics.
Yeah.
You are so slick. But he was a great operator. He employed great people that respected him and he respected them. So I was in a good culture before I got there with having him there. And they got the idea of this should be across everything. So Des encouraged that. So I got the opportunity to talk admin stuff and developed a bridge, because normally there's no bridge, but they just want to know what the players are doing. Everyone wants to know what the players are doing. So we would talk about the exact things the players are doing, which this is where I've got so much, because I work with so many businesses now, this is where I got the opportunity to work with the business of sport. But I had I was taken away from a full-time sports management role at ICMS College, and the boomerang effect was in the program. And I don't want to say they took our copyright, but they use the boomerang effect by another name, and that's the truth, and it is what it is. And boomerang effect is toward a BA in sports management at ICMS. So now, that is it important that the top has it? I believe everyone should be involved in the cultural evolution of what's happening on a field. If you want them to be good, you be good. Don't talk about, a good business needs to be culturally united in spirit. That's why I'm so happy to work with business now, because they go, oh, we want to do it just like a good team. We want to be like the Penriths or the Storms. And I'm thinking, you're not close, dude. The reason you're not close is because, firstly, you haven't got your own KPIs. They're scrutinized in every session. Everything's filmed. Every millimeter is noted. And then every intensity is noted. Every grapple's noted. Every single second of what happens noted. And you want to take it to business. You don't know what the elite experience is. And no disrespect to anyone in business in particular. I'm saying the scrutinization is different in life than it is in sport. And the more they're all involved with connecting, unifying, understanding what their role is, as I'd say, culture is an investment of all of us towards a common goal, vision, mission, all that stuff we use in business. But the more you're invested in, I need to optimize my best self now. And I reckon those best teams in the NRL right now are very, very aware of that. That's why they reproduce their scores. That's why the whole structure is in alignment. Do they which juxtapose the Bulldogs of why I wasn't there. There was stuff beyond my control, outside my control. And every club that's not in the top eight right now needs to have a good look at everything that goes into this performance, not just the players, but the club presenting itself professionally. That's one part of the answer. How'd you go with that?
That was great.
Is that, we got okay?
On the money. On the money.
Are we okay with that?
Yeah. Perfect. What about Dez, though?
Okay, this is part two.
Part two.
Dez is a very, very probing. He will look for any edge. He will look for any way to improve. He will, anything we talked about with anything to develop from mind, body, emotion, spirit, he would consider. So from growth mindset definition, your keys are curiosity, interest, zealousness, desire, a wish to improve. That's him in a nutshell. So this mad scientist thing, I mean, that's just, that's yawn. The fact that those last five performances were that close, you got to get the right people around you. When he and I parted in 2022, when I resigned from Manly because of the Rainbow incident, because I knew everything that was going on.
Oh, you were there at the time?
Yeah, I did 4 years back at Manly again. Okay. So
what, can you elaborate on that, John? Do you mind?
Well, it's on the public record. There's a bunch of people did want to play with the Rainbow, and there's a bunch of people that didn't care. That's it.
So did you care?
The beauty of sport for me, but I understand all parties. The beauty of sport to me is we initially, because I work with so many athletes, so many people, we initially thought that sport was above politics. Remember, politics is my trade.
Yep.
Was that it was above politics. But I understand why people make points about it. But for us to be in the semi-final hunt and to lose the next seven games, that's why I thought this won't be good. And that's why at the end of that year, with all the Dez being, you know, exited, I thought I could see this a mile away. I will resign because this won't be resolved in a minute, and it wasn't resolved in a minute. And when you look at the club at the moment, they're in and out of greatness, so there's still stuff to be done. And it's so nice just to follow the guys I know well, and the Chezzes and the Toms and the rest of them. They're good friends to me for life because you don't experience 4 years without getting close to them.
Absolutely.
I know I'd skipped around the do I agree or disagree. It doesn't really matter whether I agree or not, but I always thought historically that it was about playing the game because the game was separated from prejudices. Yes or no. I thought that there could be a cordial way of dealing with this. And because I'm talking to everyone at every angle, they went, this is a lot. This won't be resolved. And then he exited and that was it.
So do you believe, I've got my own opinion.
Yes.
Do you believe that the players that did stand up and say no?
I love those players personally.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about them personally. I'm talking about how it derailed. Do you believe?
We lost the next seven games.
That derailed the season?
We lost the next. We lost the from then on.
Yeah.
Oh, I went to that game.
Oh.
I went to that game, yeah, because one of the boys made his comeback. That shout out to James Seguiaro, Chico.
He's a friend of yours.
Yeah, he wants to come on the show.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we'll get to that later. But he made his comeback. I think he came back from England and was playing a bit of cup.
He's a good energy.
Yeah, so really nice. I went to that game, man, with the YKTR boys and my mate Josh. But yeah, bro, I reckon it derailed them big time. I actually reckon that they did.
As an outsider, not supporting Manly,
it was very controversial.
Look, the whole jersey incident, yes, but again, I didn't know the ins and outs of what occurred and whatnot. So, to say that those boys derailed the season, you can't. As an outsider,
did I say that?
No. No, you didn't.
I was just wondering, did I say
that? I'm saying as an outsider, I can't say that because I don't know.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, right, and knowing how successful they were, they were there.
Well, the year before, like we were the guns for the grand final. We were there.
Yeah.
We were there to 2019 and our team was building in certain things, and we had Tom in and out, as you can see, still Tom in and out, the poor bugger. Yeah. He's such a great player, but what do you do? Injuries.
Yeah.
That's dealing with in your life. I've got to see where I can and can't get involved. And I know all of them, and I think the world of all of the different people, because I respect the concept of the boomerang effect, is I assume everyone's limitless. So how am I going to be standing there? I'm not here to judge. There's someone, there's a mightier force than me to say this is right and wrong. And I'm not here to say, I'm here to accept people and optimize their best performance. It was hard. That's all it was. And the results show that it was hard. Absolutely. They're the facts.
So was there a divide, like the pro, even though, and I totally agree with you, and we've spoken about this, the whole rainbow, we had a very devout and staunch Christian on our episode.
Yep.
Whose name was Christian. And
Christian who?
Christian who?
Yeah, sorry, what was which Christian?
Suka.
Christian Suka, yeah. Okay. He's a Christian, his name is Christian. That's what
Oh, a Christian cook. Very good. Yeah. I got a Matilda in the Matildas. So there you go. Thing. There you go. I like that, so that's a real Christian.
We've made it clear where we stand. We're not prejudiced against anyone. I've got a loved one that's come out gay. When I say loved one, blood relative, right? So we know where we stand with this. And I'm not here to say I agree with the boys for standing down. But the ones that did stand down and the ones that said, look, this isn't a problem, there was obviously a divide there.
Yeah.
And when your team is, when you're not one, when you're not playing as one, training as one, when you're not on the same page and you lose that connection, well, then as a result, you get a 7-game losing streak and your season down the gurgler.
There's your proof.
There it is, right?
It's in the pudding, mob.
Okay, moving on from that, John.
So that's very heavy, isn't it?
Very.
It is. We're supposed to be, I don't know what we're supposed to be. It's,
we're not,
it is joyful.
Man. We're not supposed to do anything, John. That's the greatness of this.
But sharing interesting things that people may think of that's back in their subconscious.
Absolutely. You know. So what I want to get interesting now.
Oh. I've found it interesting up to this.
So you're an author?
Yes.
You've written many books?
Yes.
What's the best book you've written out of? How many have you written?
Well, we have 10 educational books that one of the dioceses in New South Wales paid for us to do the Boomerang Effect, 10. And my soulmate partner of 29 years and I are co-authors, she's an occupational therapist in mental health, and we put the concept before I tell you the exact thing is that it's a positive psychology whole thing, this Boomerang Effect / Zen Buddhism. The closest example of this work is, why am I pointing at you, is Phil Jackson, The Rings.
Yes.
And the person behind him, George Mumford. When I read his book and I thought, oh my gosh, this is like a brother from another mother.
He was speaking your language.
What's that?
Phil was speaking your language.
Yeah, I'm too little to say that. I'm just a no one over where I am, but I know I'm blessed.
I wouldn't say that.
But
you're being humble here, mate. You're being very humble there.
Well, whether I'm humble or not, I think Phil Jackson with 11 rings is like the Ant's pants. It to me, it's like Alex Ferguson. That's how important he is. But it confirmed one thing to me, why it's such a success, the program. That's not humble, that's truthful, because we've produced so many world champions, we've had so many GFs, we've had so many people just tear things at world records, and guys right now doing phenomenal things all over the world. But Phil Jackson's, oops, sorry. But Phil Jackson, when I love, you know, The Last Dance that everyone's looking at, that's watching on Netflix, it has got his measure on peaceful. Like the way I'll simply describe this is the strength of the program is this. If you're going shoulder to shoulder, or you're going, here we go, boof, hit someone, boof, hard, boof. But what's cool is that you can be as gentle as a lion picking up its cubs with blood all over your teeth, devouring something for lunch. And that's the power of the program. You can be powerfully in, powerfully on, and yet have that gentleness within to have deft touch to catch a ball, to score a goal, to be able to do something electric. And that is the symbiosis of the sport, which I believe is the ant's pants of what you're learning. That's as close to courage and awareness and alertness of limitlessness as you can be. That's why sport is a vehicle to find something absolutely superhero Black Panther-like within.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's massive. I'll on to that. Nathan Cleary.
Oh, amazing.
Nathan Cleary. They call him the Iceman. Trent Hodgkinson used to be the Iceman back in the day, back when you were at the Dogs, but Nathan Cleary is probably the Iceman these days.
Can't believe you said his name. That's cool.
Yeah, Hoggo, yeah, he's a good man.
2014.
Remember that field goal he slotted and Origin as well? Anyway.
We're meditating in my room.
Really?
Him and Josh Reynolds.
Grubby, he's a good man.
But before the Origin.
So he's actually
the one. Not actually before the Origin. Every week we're doing it together. Every week I had the engine room boys. All of the Frankie Richards and all the big boys, like Greg Eastwood, like
Sammy Cass.
Mm. And then I've got the deaf touch men around the rock. I love those guys. They're such, they'll be friends for life. I'll huggy wherever I'll see them.
Can I just stop you?
Sorry.
Going off your point, sorry.
Hey, I'm about God, to stop him. He's just ready to say something big.
Sorry, Joey. Always,
stop him.
You made a point because I don't want to.
Yeah, go.
We always go. I just want to go off his point. Grubby and Hodgkinson, right? How many year drought did they break? Was it 8 years?
8 or 9 years, yeah.
In 2014. What can you tell us about that period?
Oh, man. I feel we haven't got enough time to explain how much I think it's incredible and how insanely limitless they were to be able to do that. But I think what we created in that period of time, that's why the Dogs period, yeah, Manly, we won the grand final. I'm so blessed to have it. Dez gave us all rings as well as the players got. So I've got a ring for winning a grand final. But what we did at the Dogs was real pioneering stuff. And to win that and to think I played a small role in that, in just getting clarity. They're doing all the work. Please don't think I'm doing any of it. But it's the simplicity and the clarity, the repetition, the accountability. That's what I help people with, is just making it crystal clear. You know, as a fact, just a little aside again from the aside to the aside, is that you say all your stuff like you're hearing me talk and then people are going, like, I know this. And I'm going, you want to say duh, don't you? Mm. And they go, no, say it. I go, say duh. And they go, duh. So why can't you do it all the time? Because it's a habitualness. This is the systems that we've developed and nailed. They developed a system. They won the 2014 State of Origin for our state, and they were insanely brilliant together. My goal and my role is to make it simple. I'm not there. I don't catch the ball. They just do them. I was a fighter. I was an elite fighter, and I really mean that. I had 3 karate schools. The third Dan Black Belt, that was my dream. But to teach people that is why every day when I see one of those people, and I do about 50 face-to-faces a week right now, and I'm blessed, first world problem, to think that that's so cool to open them up to their spirit and to go out there and do the equivalent of what they did.
Sorry, Billy.
You waited so patiently. We're going so soon. Oh, good, so let's get this done.
Oh, good. Back to Nathan Cleary. Nathan Cleary now.
Nathan Cleary.
We all know what he's capable of with this footy ability. We know what he's capable of. He's a freak. He's a freak. I just want to, back to what I was saying, him being the Iceman. He's always found a way in the most tense and most toughest moments within the game just to ice it, whether it's kicking a field goal, setting up a try or doing something.
Yep.
Is that ability, you mentioned before about a lion, that can be so ferocious, but also they can be so calm and placid but ruthless at the same time, looking after their cub with blood all around their mouth. And
you like that?
I like that analogy. Yeah. Now, in the moment of battle on the rugby league field, you're like the lion. You're ferocious. You're competitive.
You have to be.
You're angry. But there is that certain element.
Soft hands.
Correctly.
Last pass.
Exactly.
Last pass class.
Exactly right.
What's the saying? Last pass class.
Last pass class. That's good.
Yeah. That's what the footy guys talk.
It's no coincidence Nathan Cleary is Can that be taught, how he's so calm and collected in those moments?
I teach that all the time.
Is he taught that?
I don't know.
Oh, you've never taught him?
I've never taught him any of that. But I know you can be taught because if someone's too energetic, so we do a lot of breath work. So you'll see everyone at the end of the game, not the end of the game, try time or behind the line, getting around and doing a breath.
I've seen that.
So the reason I think this is really important to understand is breath can take you to elevation and breath can take you, if you do something, all mainstream hospitals do something called 5-6-7 breathing. Yep. So that's breathe in for the 5, hold for 6, exhale for 7, or 4x4s box breathing or activation breathing to get it up. And then if you want to calm it down, breathe in for 4, slow down for 8, 7, reset, reload. Only opportunities, reset, reload. You can take yourself anywhere if you know the tools. So I teach tools so people can clutch moment. You know why they can clutch moment? Because they did the work.
True.
They've all done the work. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Yes, you do. You're going out there, you're catching a ball, you're kicking a ball, you're flying, and you're holding that person down for 3 seconds plus anything extra you can before the referee penalizes you.
So you're telling me they know what they're doing. They're controlling themselves in that situation, knowing what's about to happen.
The best know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But the rest, so there's a little saying that I have, and I can't wait for your listeners to hear this one. The best of the best, the goats in the world, are there to find a way. We okay? We good?
Yeah.
Best of the best, find a way.
Yep.
And this is the moment.
Wow.
As long as you get out of your way.
Right, that's actually crazy. I wouldn't think me and Joey both playing rugby league for a long amount of times of our lives. Never in my mind did I think to prepare that these athletes would be actually preparing themselves for this big moment. Yeah.
The best too.
With breath work and all. I can't believe that. How do they have the time to think about that in a game?
Well,
it's crazy.
Anyone that I'm working with right now is either working on visualization, meditation, breath work, seeding, affirmations, mantras, anything and anything to do with high performance. So all of the who's who things out there, the neuroscience out there, the Huberman breaths. Do you want to hear one more breath? This is called the Huberman breath, and I'll add an affirmation after. Huberman's a neuroscientist. He's the bee's knees at the moment. Insanely brilliant. So all the programs about this kind of stuff. So crap for, I can't believe I dropped it. Oh, man, what's everyone going to think? I let the team know this is bad. What are they doing? I'm going to get on. So we go. This is Huberman. Again, one more. So you can't take any more. This is really hard to do this. And then you got real slow, as I said, with the 4x8s. And then I add an affirmation like reset, reload, only opportunities. And you say, win the next moment. Let's go. And we've got a physical thing. We do that too.
Fuck. Because I want to analyze every player now. Every time someone fucks something up, I'm actually going to watch how they react.
Oh, it's so much fun. That's why I watch footy now.
I'm telling you, I'm going to start doing that. It's crazy.
I still got a few footy players out there in the top level that I'm looking at watching, but I watch them all.
Who can we watch that you're working with?
Oh, Dallin Zalesniak I've been working with 3 years. Marcelo Montoya has been with for 3-4 years. But I mean, when he was in the 20s, we were working together, Marcelo. Then we got to the WAS together. And
there
then
you
we,
go, yeah.
I love Marcelo. They'll be friends for life. And Josh Curran.
Nice.
Warriors boys, a lot of Warriors / Dogs boys.
Well, I was working with more, but things changed. And, you know, like Lasek I was working with for a while. We were really good friends. I was so happy to see him play. The day before. So there's so many players that I've worked with. I don't want to bore you with the amount of players after leaving anyone, because managers are interested in this, wanting their players to, it's cha-ching, cha-ching, remember? The guy gets over it quicker is the cha-ching, cha-ching on the next contract. So you can see more managers would be, should be, and are interested in. We got to go soon, don't we?
No, we're good.
No, we're good.
We're good, awesome. Really, yeah. Here am I just blah, 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 yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
You're going well.
No, we've got about maybe 30 to 40 minutes.
Are you joking?
Yeah, we're good.
Gosh, I hope I can hold out. You know I'm getting old.
No,
I'm just joking.
You let me know when you're ready to pull the plug.
Oh. Pull the plug or go to the toilet.
Yeah. Either or.
Either those.
I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, so when a team would score.
Yes.
And they'll make their way to the halfway line.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about this.
Right. I believe, because the first time I saw it, it was the Warriors that started this.
Yep.
Was it the Warriors?
Oh, I don't know where you're going exactly. I've got 10 things to say.
The breathing, they started where they huddled.
In the huddle, yeah.
Yep.
And they went for...
Hold, yeah. Do a couple of breaths.
They were doing that. I first saw that with the Warriors.
Yep.
Is that... Did you have anything to do with
no,
that?
No. No. But what I was going to say was two things from that. The attacking team, look at them, but look at the defending team. I'd love to see the statistics on this because I'm so interested in statistics, is that the team that's been hurt, especially the team that's had 70% of the possession and then scored against, oh, so demoralizing. So what they do when they get to the back of the – when they get to the, behind the try line, they say, come on, fellas, this is without breath, without clarity. How many times does the kicker kick it over the back line? How many times do they give away a penalty? Because they're overpumped.
Yep.
How many times do you remember that it's error, it's back-to-back tries? It's so I'm just sitting there going, here we go again. Oh, no, for our team. Okay, boys. And then you go through the learning of what needs to be done. You communicate that to Dez and, you know, our coaches of what we need to do and how we need to do it. And then you get people running onto the field explaining, stay cool, but be really, really, really ruthless. So there's an energetic response that needs to be still focused and controlled. If you just let your penalties are going off, every, especially in wet weather, they go up a little bit. And interestingly, I'll tell you one thing I noticed about the Dogs this year. Three big games that they lost were in the wet, and then that most recent game that we just watched was a win in the wet. So all props to them. Congratulations to them.
Did you have anything to do with that?
No. I just – look, those coaches – the Waz coach, they all came from the same place, remember?
Mm.
The Waz and the Dogs coach.
Yep.
They're all wise people doing big tasks to organise all what's happening there every game. It's just so complex at so many levels, and it's a credit to the guys who are coaching to get it right and repeat it.
Mm.
And that's where the Dogs will be going. That's where Penrith are and they've been, and that's where – Bellamy, I got the opportunity to meet him when I had a year down at Melbourne at the Melbourne Demons.
AFL.
Yeah, in 2023. Yeah. And then I got to meet him there a couple of times because we were at AMI together.
Yep.
That lovely guy, you know. Yeah, please say hello to Desi. And Desi's going to be a friend for life, of course. Yeah. He's going to be a friend for life. And just the calmness. I just love watching him in the box when he just walks away.
Loses his shit.
He's got to do his little moment.
Bellamy?
Whatever he's doing. But these guys, yes, Bellamy. Yeah. But these guys know that culture and performance has something to do with it's one breath, one mind. Be there for your brother. Don't be a goose. Do what you have to do. Opportunities. Move on. Win the next moment. That's compartmentalizing as we started this whole thing. Got to understand how to compartmentalize. And the game's 4,800 seconds. It's every second separate.
Yep.
You're tracking, but you're not involved. You're alert, aware. Your moment comes. You are so calm and cool because the calmer and cool you are, the clearer you'll be. The calmer and cooler you are, your body just goes into action. And then nothing's in the way. Remember I said you'll always find a way as long as you don't get in your way. And the get in the way is a plethora of things.
I just want to ask, John, in regards to mindset, and you obviously have a lot of one-on-ones with these players, I'm assuming. You have one-on-ones with our sports stars, whether it be in rugby league and all that sort of stuff. Now, have you ever had – I know you're not a psychologist maybe you are.
I'm a counsellor.
You're a counsellor.
I'm a counsellor. I did 6 months of psychology and went, my woggy background is a lot harder than anything I just heard there. I heard all the concepts and I thought – I've learned more in martial arts and Zen Buddhism than I have in mainstream psychology. No disrespect to psychologists.
Of course.
I work with psychologists. I refer people to psychologists. We're all in the trade together, but I do something vastly different.
Have you ever had a moment, though, when you're with someone one-on-one and you look at them, their performance on the field hasn't been that great, whether And they're not being that open with you.
Oh yeah,
and you've picked something and you've said, nah, man, you're holding something away from me. You're not. There's something really buggering you, and I really, really think you need to go get help.
When people are, when I notice, because I've been on, you know, I will look at a client, I'll talk to him, I'll talk to the people around him. The people are sort of 2 weeks. 2 weeks of sadness is called depression.
Oh, really?
Two weeks of sadness. Oh. If you're sad for frock's sake, for two, I mean, how can you be sad for 2 weeks? How do you get, someone passed 3 years ago. Dude, the best thing you can do is live your now in the spirit of the one that passed that you're sad about. But you can't do nothing about that, brother.
It's true.
Within your control, outside your control, help and hinder. 8-year-old said to me when I said that, he said, would it be true to say, Johnny, that you need to focus on the things within your control that you could, that will help you? And when help you, what we're talking about is mind, body, emotion, spirit, preparation. Get into the new now. There's an art to it, but when I see someone that's so locked in, it's called entrapment. I got that from the number one psychologist in positive psychology. Learned Optimism in his work, because of his work in 1991, I made a comeback for this, because he's amazing. If you could mention him, Learned Optimism does it. Martin Seligman. I've watched him. I've met him. He's a superstar hero academically in positive psychology. Entrapment of mind means I'm looking at someone, they're entrapped in a line of reasoning that is hurting them badly, that even though that their body's trained like an elite, they are not even close, because they're in their way because of their own matrix. They are in their own matrix.
That's true. I'm just thinking, like, that. Do you ever come across people that, like, a mistake would have haunted them, like, from 2 weeks ago, and they're still dwelling on it?
He's a mate. Okay, let me talk footy. Sean Kenny Dow, Rocks and Diamonds. We are good mates.
Uncle Skidzy?
Is that what?
SKD, they just called him that.
Yeah. But when I got the opportunity to work with him in the Roosters and Toowoomba, we talked about this a lot, and he's good friends. He's got testimonial on my website. A whole bunch of people have got testimonials. They're interesting people there. Check it out. He would be any one of them who are untrained, keep thinking about what they did wrong to rectify it. And the more you think about it, remember, what you put out is what you get back. Where the thoughts go is where the energy will go. Trepidation, fear, doubt, questioning. That's what's happening when an error happens. So you're trying to rectify, remedy, and all you're doing, and then say, the question you can never say in elite sport is why. Don't freaking say why. Why what? It finished. It's just a moment. Move on, dude. So I can see where I think that there's a problem. Like the guy said, you need to go to church more. Because if you're a man of faith or a woman of faith, a person of faith, you got to invest in the things that you believe is building you, and faith builds you, man. But if you don't do it, that is getting in your way.
I'm
going to do something off the cuff here.
Oh, like everything was not off the cuff.
Yeah, you mean? Like, because everything else was planned.
Everything was so planned, man. Let's go off the cuff.
Is your book called Be the Champion?
Yes.
Can I get that up, Dan, please?
Be the Champion. Oh, yeah, there's a free chapter there if you go to. There's a really good chapter. You could look into it straight away.
Well, what I want to do.
Yes, what do you want to do?
Is this book available?
Yeah. You can get it on Boomerang Effect website. You can get it in all the regular places. You can get it. You can get it.
Dimmix?
Not in those places. They take like 80% of everything.
Yeah, don't matter then.
So we're gonna buy a copy.
Yep.
Oh, it's.
And we're gonna
read it.
I
hope so.
I'm absolutely gonna. I'm gonna buy my own copy. Let me tell you, but I want to buy a copy for one of our listeners.
Okay.
And we're gonna do a giveaway.
Oh
yeah.
We'll help too because we can give you the hard copy, but the e-copy they can have on your phone. That's why kids like it as an e-copy on their phones.
We can get them an e-copy, but I love, for me, I don't know, anyone else could be different.
Yep.
But for me, I love holding.
Yeah, me too.
Holding a hard copy.
Yeah.
Good. We have
what can one thing?
One thing.
One thing. I know this is hard. What's one thing that a listener out there can take out of this book that will be able to help them tomorrow?
Well, now. So one thing, I see miracles in a week. Hand on heart, because I'm a man of faith, hand on heart, in 1 week, I watch a person on screen and I say, if you do the key things, I give them a mindset program for a week from the book, the key things. I'll tell you what the key things are now if you want. The key things are lift your body, have a smile on your face, so you're all day up. So a joke, I go, how tall are you? And they go, 180. And I go, I want you to swing at 183. Okay, 183, what does that mean? So you're developing an aura. So one, body. Next, you're releasing endorphins by smiling more. Have a little smile. A little smile. Like we as fighters, someone hits you and goes, boof, and you go, ah, that didn't hurt. So straight away you're smiling, okay? Three, you're having something called world-class reaction. So whatever happens, you go, sweet, I'm always learning, always growing. Sweet, I'm always learning, always growing. Four, putting out positive energy in your words, thoughts, and actions. And that's it. You do that for a week, I see people who have done it, who I look at them and go, dude, you've really been working, haven't you? Their demeanor is different. Hand on heart, I go, mini miracles in that session, mini miracles, because all they've picked is the essence of what I said. But really, the book, as I described to people who have worked with me for years, is summarized by six main principles. And every other chapter, this is a workbook of doing. This is not just I don't go into big anecdotes. I could give thousands of anecdotes. I just don't want to waste people's time. You want to nail the breath? From brand to breath, read the book if you want to be an elite athlete. Seriously, we are just quietly doing great things. We're not the biggest. We don't have thousands. Get us on Insta to John Avec Boomerang. Check it out. Check out who we're touching.
We'll have all your handles in this episode.
Oh, cool.
So we'll have all your links.
Ask that.
No, we'll have all your links in the description.
Did that describe anything?
Absolutely. No. Yeah. Just one. And again, this isn't just for athletes.
Oh, no.
I need people to understand that.
Let's talk to the business people right now. Ask yourself all day, is what I'm doing right now helping or hindering our business's culture, vision, and mission by you just losing it? That's it. Help or hinder. That little piece of advice took the Waratahs coach to a semi-final when the team was having difficulties. All he said was, Johnny, I was doing a presentation at Sydney University for coaches, and he just said, what did you get out of it? Then I started working with him a bit. He said, just help and hinder. Every breath and every moment, is this helping or hindering me with my ultimate vision of who I want to be, the Black Panther? Oh, I can't really do this today. Oh, geez, you're the Black Panther. What are you talking about? Sorry to be so stupid, but it's so obvious for me that you're holding something back, that you're not doing your best self. It's so obvious when you're so gifted. Like I get people who are so gifted and then they go out there and they're questioning whether they can, and they go, oh, or I got this kid at superstar that you'll see in the next Olympics, a breaststroke. I won't say his name. It'll probably embarrass him because he's young, but everyone knows him. Okay. And he goes, oh, I don't know what's going to happen at the World Championships in Bulgaria. I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. You're going to go to the pool, just like the one you train at every day, and you're going to go in the water, and you're going to do breaststroke. That's what you're trained to do. And there's going to be guys that are good, but you're no less limitless than them. What don't you understand about that? No, nothing. Okay, well, now repeat, like you do your sport all day. Because all you do is swim. So all you do is need to think about the things that give you energy, good energy. Because the two major things, and can I go on for one more second?
Of course you can.
Of course, yeah.
Two major things of elite athletes, or people, these are the two major things. Imposter syndrome. So, and what that does is they question whether they can. Or the perfectionist, who then goes, too much emotion in, that was wrong, I need to be better. And internally, they're trying to look really cool on the outside, but internally, they're killing themselves, hurting, like footy players. Anyone at the elite level, they're questioning themselves. So
It's emotional intelligence and mastery and faith, trust, and belief in yourself. They're the two headings. You get these two right, whoever's listening to this in any walk of life, you will kick backside.
You mentioned something, imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I love that word, but I've seen it getting thrown around a lot. Have you ever had to kick someone into gear and say, mate, you're here for a reason?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why you're downing yourself. Like, what? And this guy could be a superstar. Say, for instance, right, let's say footy. It's the easiest thing to talk
about. Yeah, let's talk footy.
We're talking about this guy, from the outside looking in, he looks like he's got it all down pat. He's there for, like, he's the man. But have you ever had to, has anyone ever opened up to him thinking, fuck, I don't know if I'm coming up
with this? Do you want to hear the light of reasoning with him?
Love to.
So they're up-and-comer superstars. So all the facts are there. You've done this, because you'll see when they have a two-page questionnaire when I start with them. And I did that with all the teams, every team. When I started with filled a two-page questionnaire, and I would analyze before I did one-on-ones with them who this person was in front of me. I'm into all of the detail. So highlight moments, best moments, you at your best, what is it like, you at your worst, what is it like? So I know all of that before I talk to any of these boys in all the teams I've been with. So the guy recognizes that he's done all of these things. The coaches are the best coaches in the world because I've had so many world champions. And then he questions, or she questions, whether she can or can't. Like, I get so many people that close to the Olympics and they lose in the final again and again. And they're training with our best, who we're revering in Olympics. So I say to him simply this: do you trust your coach? And they go, of course I trust my coach. What does your coach say about your upcoming performance? He says, well, I can't wait to have you there. Let's go footy. I can't wait to have you there. How else do you know that you're good? Do you want me to show your record? And then we go through the record, so acknowledgement. This is the record the coach says. This, what about your family? Oh, they've always said that I'm good. So do you think they're liars? And they, what do you mean? Do you think they're liars? Do you think Des Hasler's a liar? Do you think any coach is a liar? Do you think your coaches would lie for you any reason? No, would not. Didn't say they're liars. No, are you sure they're not liars? Because you don't trust yourself. Why don't you trust them?
Mm.
So I get a little theatrical, as you can see. I put a bit of thespian in. But the fun thing about all that for me is that I assume the biggest difference between positive psychology and the program is this. You come to me, I got in my head, you're limitless. Okay, you're limitless and you're limitless is what gets in your way. And they are rocks and diamonds in their heads because they have doubts. And you can't go into a critical moment with doubt. You must be fierce, courageous, and fearless, especially in footy, right? So you got to do that. But if you start saying stuff, that's got energy. So it's called boomerang. You're boomeranging the very thing you don't want to do often. So I train them to be tunnel vision on the stuff that makes them remember the two things, emotional mastery, woo, good energy, and the other one, faith, trust, and belief, that I really got something. And the ones who are on the transitional point, you're saying, what do you do with that guy? You got it smart enough. I say to him, do you accept that you've got something? And he goes, yes. Okay, well, let's go with this one, because you dare not say, as I tell all my athletes to lift their arms up to go, I'm limitless, I'm limitless, I'm limitless. Are you entertained? Gladiator style. Are you entertained? Play the game in the mirror, because what you see in the mirror is what other people see. They dare not do that. And some of them have difficulty doing that. But can you not accept that you are no less limitless than anyone else? So it's logic, reasoning, consistency, and add it. And you can see this is how I communicate. This is, and it's fun. It's joyful, because all we're doing is opening up more doors to their Black Panther, to their superhero self, to their best self,
absolutely,
to their higher self.
I want to know,
what do you think about all that?
I love it.
That was good.
Is that cool? Does it absolutely make any sense?
So you wouldn't think this shit, man. You wouldn't think they go through this stuff, these people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fast and furious for me.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
It is so much fun. Crazy.
There's so much to it. People just think, you know, there's talent, there's training, it's fitness, you know, rock up on game day. Like you say, catch the ball, kick the ball, run the ball.
Score a try, go home.
Yeah. there's so much to it.
Has there been anyone that you've helped that, like,
phenomenally?
You're phenomenally, like, turn their life around.
I would say there's a lot of people, I'm trying to think of one specific like that, because everyone that I've worked with, say Melissa Wu, for example, five Olympics, yep. five Olympics diver. She's written, spoken about the work. It's all over the website. Three of those Olympics with a boomerang effect. Every psychologist in the country is being offered to these supers. Like James Magnussen at his best, where he can't lose a race at 47-1. He was involved with the boomerang effect before he met me with one of my students at ICMS. Then he's with me for the next 8 years. We go back-to-back world championships. He's a mate for life before the latest thing that he's done, which is a bit of, you know, there you go. This is what I think about all of you guys. He has shaped a lot. These guys have got the hand of the best of the best of the best psychologists in the country. They go with me. Why? Why do they go with me?
Because it's proven.
Well, I'll tell you an example with Melissa. Melissa, with her last Olympics, she's going 60 kilometres an hour from 4 metres. 60 kilometres. It's by the time she goes from 10 metres up, 60 kilometres an hour to get to the water. And I go, Melissa, have you got 8 parts to that? She looked at me. She goes, how do you know there's 8 parts to that dive? And I said, it's intuition. Like, I've got to the point where I do this work. Yes, yes, it's here, but it's also in here and in my soul. I feel like I understand this deeply because I've done so much physical work before I went into full-time this work, because I was Australia's head of fitness world. So that's why I did all those shows. I had multiple books out. I was outsold Jane Fonda's videos, all this stuff I've done that no one knows about. And I'm like, what am I doing? It's excellence in the breath. So let's focus on the point. I know that it works, but when Melissa says there's 8 parts to it, I know every one of those parts of that movement, reverse, double, this, will affect everything. So, and we work through every one of those parts. No one knows this story. Every one of one out of six, we go to the second, we assert it, we visualize it, we feel it, we say it, we watch it. We watch it in every training session, that part of the 8. It's so detailed, the work. You've got to understand body. If you don't understand body, you can psychobabble the hell out of it. You're never a fighter. I went in rings. If I didn't get it right, I'm knocked out. So I feel that I came into a profession preparing for it by just my life experiences, anecdotally through experience, and then read everything. Those five years of dogs, there wasn't anything that I didn't know about it because I was full time. And now I've got thousands and thousands and thousands of experiences to talk to people about. So I am blessed to have built an approach, body first, mind second, great coaches around me, and then superstar athletes breaking it down to going, what are you doing right now? And I get it enough to be able to break down 66 sports. So I feel that this is the time, even though I've aged a lot, and I hope you don't see me from the side with the triple chin we were talking about before.
No, you're fine, man.
It is what it is. I've got a grandfather of a couple of kids, and I feel really pleased about that. It's the time to awaken people to their greatness. I don't care who I work with, I assume you're limitless. So their greatness is that Black Panther or blessed self that's done amazing things. It's just being able to dissect it and be open to it. And as you said to me before, do I find difficult people? Yes. Especially the one that says, I know it all. Well, why can't you do it repeatedly when it's critical in adversity? If you can't do an adversity, you don't know it all. So clutch moment means, as what's his name, Steph Curry, you can go through a whole Olympic final missing, and then you have the last 4 moments and you have 3-pointers and you do this kind of thing because it's always there. So every athlete needs to realize it doesn't go your rocks and diamonds. It's always there. It's just you get in your way.
Before we wrap it up, John.
Yes. What do you want to say?
You're going to have the last say.
No. I'll talk your ears off. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Ask your question.
Ask
the question, then we'll wrap up.
Look.
Are you a big believer of the law of attraction? You're how important, I know you are, but how important is it to think, like pretty much you reap what you sow mentally and what you put out there to the universe? Like, How important is it to everybody? Not just talk about the athlete, just everybody, everybody out there. The everyday human.
Imagine if you realize that you're in the driver's seat of everything that's just about to happen. So the program's called the boomerang effect.
Yep.
So I love American Indians. I love spiritual knowing. I love all faiths. Yep. And all of them have that thing in common,
yep,
that everything's happening for you to become more blessedly aware of where you need to be and go. So that's why it's called boomerang effect. So I don't have any problem with anyone of any faith as long as there's kindness, love, because I love what I do. I love being a fighter. I was in the zone and flow more than I wasn't. And I know that that's at everyone's disposal if you find your special place. So the law of attraction is boomerang effect's another word for the law of attraction.
Okay.
So whether you call it the secret or the law of attraction, it's the same thing. I say to the kids, you're the one driving your big bus or your Ferrari or whatever color you want, and we actually talk about the colors you like. So there's the answer to that.
Thank you, mate.
That was a long answer.
That was a great answer. That's awesome.
Long, so boringly long.
John, before we go.
Yes.
I know you've given us a couple of things that our guests can take away.
Yes.
To implement.
Help and hinder.
Yeah.
Tall body, smile. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
I'm going to give you the last word, and I want you to talk to our audience because, again, we want.
Okay. They're there. You're there.
They're right there.
And you're here.
Yeah. Because we've had 20 plus episodes.
And this is the 24th episode.
Yeah, the 24th.
Not that I'm in numerology or anything. It's my numbers.
It is your numbers.
Worked out well.
And
you guys are so prepared.
Today's the first episode, really, where they can take something away.
Yeah.
Really?
Really. And that's why I really want you to talk to them.
Okay.
If someone feels that they've hit, whether it's a crossroad or a speed hump or a dead end,
yep,
in their life, whether they're broken, whether they're lethargic, whether they're not, you know, a meter and 83 centimeters tall.
Whilst you're building this up beautifully, yep, can I just tell you Buddhism, the answer straight away to one part of it, it's impermanent. Keep going.
The feeling is impermanent.
Everything is impermanent. Everything will pass. That will pass. You know, we say time will heal. I'm not lessening anything that you said. I just want to say straight away, if it will pass, how would you like it to pass? How would you like it to pass?
Quickly.
Well, quickly, the feeling like that, the challenging answer to that difficult question that I just said, that stupid little thing, it will pass. It will pass. But the gravity of the passing's hard because you're so invested in something that you love. If you love something so much, don't want it to pass. So grieving can take quite long. Let's take that for an example. And I'm talking to all of us, you know, and I'm talking to me with my mum's in aged care, as we discussed before this, and she'll probably pass soon. She can't remember anything. She's dementing. She can't even remember. Like, all she can remember is what's in. She doesn't remember. She says, that's a glass.
I'm sorry to hear, mate.
No, it is what it is. So that's a within my control outside. What's the best thing I can do to help, like the eight-year-old kid we talked about earlier? The best thing you can do is nice things for yourself. And nice things for yourself, treat yourself to stuff, do exercise. If you start sitting there longer, you go, what's the point, what's the point, what's the point? Well, the reason we can't say what's the point is because what you put out is what you get back. And the reason is that in the spirit of that loss, by you saying what's the point is you should be using the knowledge that I gave you, the passers talking, to bring that to other people instead of moaning about how I'm gone. I'm gone. What are you leaving inside of me that I gave you? So use it as an empowerment thing, as a building thing, but not straight away. Feel it to heal it. Feel it to heal it, counselor, I'm talking now. Feel it to heal it, understand it. Do some journaling. If you need to do some swearing, done a couple of that. Swear on paper, swear around the park. Say whatever you need to do, depending on the different circumstances. But realize also that you do have choice. And in every moment, you're still limitless. And despite what everything happened, our simple saying is learning and growing. And if it's too deep and too hard, you never say the word opportunity, but learning and growing about yourself and circumstances and what you can share with others because of what just happened. Is that any?
That can take absolutely something away from that. And that's all I wanted.
No, I did.
I want to add one more thing to that. And I want to get your thought on it before we go. Writing.
Yeah, really important.
Can you expand on that?
Well, the reason, like, I have journals up to, if I was standing right now, it up to here. So I found a way of the healing through writing, through all the difficulty of everyone's got difficulty growing up. I had my version of that. No one could understand that. So when I started journaling in 1991, and I still journal, I still do it, but I haven't got the time to do it every day anymore. I did it for just a year, since a year ago I haven't, because it's business has become so insanely cool. That first world problem again, I feel blessed. But the journaling was my catharsis. The journaling, I could say frock, I could say sheesh, I could say anything I wanted to myself, because it was a testimony to where I was at that moment, with a date at the top, with key themes, and people go, oh, I've never written again. Well, just what did you like about your day? What was challenging? What are the kind of strategies did you use? They're really easy things you write about. Writing is, I don't mean cathartic. I mean it's a whole brain transformation through writing. If a goal is not a goal, if it's not written, well, acknowledge where you are. Acknowledge it through the writing. Say how I'm dealing with it. And then you can see, gosh, I've come a long way in the last 21 days by being a little more positive and using some of the strategies Johnny was talking about, the body and the smiling and the world-class reactions and the good stuff and the help and hinder. You can do that in the writing and then apply it to your specific circumstances, and you will be a new person. It takes about 21 to 28 days to change habits, because all of us are walking around big fat habits. 95% of the day is a big habit. And you know how you know it's a habit? How are you today? Oh, same old, same old. If it's impermanent, there's no same old, same old. You're just looking at it with your old eyes, then it's boring as batshit.
Yeah, you're right.
So you need to find a way to find what you're learning today and avoid the Groundhog Day.
I definitely feel like it's Groundhog Day a lot. Something.
No, that's normal.
But it's on me. That's on me. I'm making it.
Help or hinder.
Exactly right.
What can you change straight away? Do something different. Just go for a walk, crack a smile, go to Vanuatu, have an earthquake. It's looking true.
John.
Yes.
Mate, that's us.
Oh, wow. Boy, that flew. Well, that was
like, that was too quick.
Yeah, gosh, we've only been here like, what, that's 36 hours we've been here?
Yeah, about that.
only 36 hours. Well, I really felt, I was so excited. I normally I'm wondering what to say, and I'm just, you know, I've been doing it so long, I just couldn't wait to talk to you, because I watched a couple of your episodes and I thought, good energy, you guys have got good energy. If I just bumble through something, they'll ask me another question. I'll actually ask him, do you want some more on that?
Yeah.
And no. You go, no, it's sweet. It was so easy to chat with you, and congratulations on what you guys have been doing.
Thank you.
It's very real. You know, you got to get out there. More people need to listen to the real stuff. You guys don't hide from anything.
Thank you. We appreciate you, John.
I never get sick of hearing that. Never get sick of hearing that, eh?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, that we're real. I love that. I never get sick of it.
Well, I pride myself on making sessions real. And if it's hard, I just go, well, you know, like, I'm going to be sorry to offend you by saying you're no less limitless than anyone on the planet. But
I'll tell you something about Billy and I. We're our harshest critics.
Yep.
You know, we've got a group chat, and I'm sure Dan back there can testify to this. Like, we're constantly trying to make ourselves better, right?
Yeah, I can see.
And we'll have goes, and then, you know, Bill will come to me and say, oh, bro, like, you know.
What'd you do that for?
Yeah, you're coming at me hard. I'm like, Bill, like, this is what I'm thinking, right? I love you. Take it. And vice versa. He'll say, bro, hey, I don't agree with this. There's nothing fake about what's going on here.
Yeah, literally, bro.
And what we do in front of the camera is exactly how we are off camera.
Yeah.
And this is why I know. And I sent him a message yesterday, because we hit 3,000 followers, which might not be much to others.
Well, we'll be 3,001 now. I hope my mother's going to join.
Well,
God bless us all. So at least my wife.
Yeah, well, I sent him a message just saying, hey, bro, congrats on 3,000. And
it's pure.
I love you and I'm glad I'm doing this with you.
Mm.
And there's yeah. times I know he's like, he'll be...
Weirded out by that?
No, weirded out by me in general. Just like, you need space from me.
Yeah, you're pretty full on, man. Oh, you love talking to
me. So,
yeah,
until he met me.
Yeah.
Remember that chat we had?
Then he broke me down.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I didn't break it down.
In a positive way.
We just huggy-huggied on the phone. I like this guy. But, I go, yes, podcast.
Yeah, but John, what I mean by broke is because I'm always dominant.
Oh.
My energy is always up. It's always like alpha. Yeah. But when I spoke to you, it was like, no, I had to like...
Tone it down?
Yeah, I had to tone it down because his energy like was... Bro, I got off the phone. I was like, I did a bit of talking, but I'm listening and listening and going, I need this.
Mm.
I need this. And one thing I want to tell our viewers is don't think because we've got our own podcast and we're the ones bringing on guests, you know, at the caliber of John Novak, don't think we've got our shit together either. Yeah, we're on a journey, right? We're all on a journey. I might be a few steps
sidewards, humbly,
yeah. But at the end of the day, we need like when we get a positive message, we need that.
Mm.
We need that to keep pushing forward. When I'm telling John to talk to you guys,
there you are
to help you in a certain aspect of your life. I'm listening to him, thinking I need that.
Hey, excuse me.
I can use that.
Excuse me, gentlemen. Everything I told you, I work on every day.
There you go.
I'm not sitting on no pedestal. My missus would just say to me, help or hinder. We're talking about the kids, right?
Yep.
Help and hinder with that one. Where's that one going to take the 19-year-old, the 15-year-old who thinks she's 25? So we're constantly checking in. Do your own stuff, dude.
And that's coming from the author.
Yeah.
If the author is working on himself.
All the time, every day.
And it's your program.
To the final breath. Watch this. Always learning, always growing. See you later. That's all, folks.
Appreciate you, John.
On that note, brother. All right, guys. John, once again, thank you very much. Guys, please, I've said this before, but we're very grateful to have John on this show. In order for us to get amazing guests like this, we do need your support. So please, once again, do like and subscribe to all our channels, our Spotify, our YouTube, and our Instagram page.
And mine too.
And yes, John's handles. No, don't be joking at all.
Especially Insta.
All his Instagram and all his handles will be on the description on the episode once it drops. So John, once again, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for listening.
I'm Billy.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Johnny. That's Johnny. That's right. Sorry. Sorry.
And that's Johnny.
Sorry. That's them. It's not me.
Well, mate, you're all the welcome to come back anytime. And guys, we'll see you all next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah.